Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 3, Philippians in chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 4 down to verse 9. Philippians chapter 3. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. All right, as before we get ready to read the Word of God and realize what's taking place here this morning, let me ask you the question, how many are thankful that you're in church instead of in jail this morning?
Amen.
There you go. All right, so you have something to be thankful for and have something to put a smile on your face and get ready to receive what God has for us, all right? So put everything else out of your mind and let's focus on what God has for us during this next few minutes. And I believe it's going to be found out of this passage of Scripture that God's given to us here in the book of Philippians in chapter 3. And so let's start reading here. Verse 4, we'll conclude in verse 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning, we thank You for this opportunity that You've made available to us to be in church, and for everyone that has taken advantage of it and that have made the decision to be here. And I pray now, God, that You would just speak to each one of us this morning as we have need to be spoken to. I pray that You would use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message from Your Word to minister to Your people. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Of course, as we know, this is the Apostle Paul and somewhat giving his testimony and presenting some thoughts to us here in Philippians in chapter 3. But what I want to draw your attention to is found there in verse 8 when he says, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. That idea of winning, the definition would be to gain by success. To gain by success. We know that he's not talking about salvation here because you do not win salvation. The Bible says it is a gift. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it's the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And so salvation is a gift, it's eternal life, and it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he's not talking about what he won here as far as salvation. It is this idea of winning, again, to gain success, but to gain what he was seeking in his relationship with Christ. If you will, Paul was saying, so that I can have fellowship in my relationship with Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 10, the very next verse, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I want to know him on an intimate level. I want to get to know him to the place where I can have this close fellowship. And winning Christ is wanting to receive and enjoy the fellowship that we can have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, many people have relationships, but they do not have godly fellowship in those relationships. And so there's two different things here. In order to have fellowship in a relationship, you have to first of all have the relationship. The relationship, the definition of relationship, is the state of being related. The state of being related. Fellowship is connection between things, mutual respect in what one thing is with regard to the other. Okay, even though you have a relationship, doesn't mean that you automatically have this fellowship. The fellowship is connection between the things. It takes two to have a relationship. Mutual respect in what one thing, one person is with regard to the other that you're looking to have fellowship with. For instance, a parent and child. There's a relationship there. If you have children, that relationship will never change. Your blood flows through the veins of that child. Even though sometimes we would like to disown children that disobey in public, that's your child. Take ownership of them, amen? Because that's a relationship. The relationship between a parent and child will never change. That is a parental relationship. But we have to ask ourselves, are we enjoying the fellowship of a parental relationship? See, children, God has designed children, and through the birth and through all the things that God designed in the reproduction, God has designed children to have a need for parents. But it's sad because many children, especially in today's society, are not experiencing the fellowship and a relationship with a parent, because a parent, instead of wanting to be a parent, they're wanting to be their best friend. They're wanting to be their brother. They're wanting to be their sister. They're wanting to be something other than what that child needs more than anything else. That child cannot get that parental fellowship with anyone else but their parents. And so even though there is a relationship between a parent and a child, that is a given. But we're not experiencing the fellowship of a parental relationship. And I trust you can see the difference there. Again, every parent needs to realize that that child needs me as their parent. That child needs me to raise them in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. It is God's will that every child be raised in the nurture and the in the knowledge and the nurture. My goodness, my tongue's getting tied here. I had too hard of a time at my the retreat this last weekend in sleep. But every child is to be raised according to the will of God. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, is every child raised that way? No. Is it God's will that they be raised that way? Yes. But God will not force His will. An individual has a choice. We just taught and preached on this at the retreat this weekend to the men. You have choices, and you have to make the right choices. Every child needs a parent. And parents, you need to realize that you need to be that parent that that child needs. And you can have a parental fellowship in that relationship. There is a husband and wife relationship. If you're married, you have that relationship of a husband and wife. But so many are not enjoying the fellowship of the marital relationship. A husband needs a wife. A husband does not need a maid. A husband does not need another mother. A husband does not need a friend, first of all. A husband, a man, a married man, a husband needs a wife. Because if you're married in God's perfect will, she's the only one that you can have a marital blessing with. Every wife here needs a husband. If they are married, they don't need another wife. They don't need another friend. They don't need another father. Because in that relationship of marriage, it is a husband and a wife. And in God's perfect will, the only one that can give you that marital blessing is your wife to the man. And the only one to the woman can give you, can be the husband that God wants you to have is that man. And so if that man is not loving his wife as Christ loved the church and is willing to give himself, die for that wife, then you are not having the fellowship because you are not the person in that relationship that you need to be. And if you're not that person in that relationship, then you cannot and will not have the marital blessings of fellowship that God wants you to have. And ladies, if you are not submitting yourself to your husband, and if you're not there looking to be the biblical wife that God wants you to be to your husband, listen to me, you're not going to have that marital fellowship because you're not going to be the person in that relationship that God wants you to be. I trust this is making sense to you. The relationship is there. You might be married, yes, but are you enjoying the fellowship that God wants you to enjoy in that relationship of marriage? If you're going to enjoy it, then men, husbands, you need to be exactly what God wants you to be. And wives, women, you need to be what God wants you to be. And in that marital relationship, if both of you are being the person that God wants you to be, then there is a tremendous blessing in a marital relationship. There's tremendous fellowship. There's a relationship that is unlike any other relationship on this planet Earth. And God intended it to be that way. Church members' relationship. The idea there is, if you're a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, then you can have the fellowship of other members of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I believe that God would have us to have church membership fellowship, and that's why we are to call one another sisters and brothers. Because it's a family, it's a spiritual family that God gives to us. If you are both members of the church, then that relationship will not change unless you leave the church or have your name taken off the membership. But if you're members of the church, then you have an opportunity to have a relationship and fellowship in that relationship as church members. In God's will, if you are the church member that God wants you to be, and the other is the church member that God wants them to be, then you will be able to admonish and encourage and be a help to one another. But if you're not the church member that God wants you to be, and you might have a relationship with the church as a church member, but if you're living an ungodly lifestyle, if you're living outside the will of God as a church member, listen to me, you're not going to have the kind of fellowship, relation, the fellowship in the relationship as a church member. Amen. So there is something different. Relationship, yes. What's your relationship? Well, we're both members of the same church. Praise the Lord for that. Because now that you're members, but are you enjoying the fellowship in that relationship as church members? Well, it all depends. See, the fellowship, connection between things, your church members, mutual respect in what one thing is with regard to the other. Are you the church member that God wants you to be? If you are and the other person is, there is tremendous fellowship in the body of Christ. Amen. Now, we have several illustrations of this, this idea of members, family relations. If you were born into the same family, listen to me, that'll never change. Your relationship with your sisters, your siblings, your relationship with other church, other family members, that will never change. That is a relationship. But in order to have the right kind of fellowship in that relationship, the godly fellowship that God wants you to have, is you have to be in that relationship what God wants you to be,
And your brother or your sister has to have be the kind of person that they should be in that relationship. And when they are being the right kind of person and you're being the right kind of person in that relationship, there's fellowship. And there's blessings in those relationships. Friendships. Very same thing is true. Study the Bible. God says what you ought to, what kind of a person you ought to be in a friendship. And if you are the right kind of friend and you show yourself to be friendly, then God is going to bring others into your life that are the right kind of friends, and you can enjoy that friendship relationship. But if you're looking in this relationship on what that person can do for you, listen to me, that's not the kind of fellowship that God wants you to receive in a friendship. If the right kind of friend is saying, God, how can I be a blessing to this person? How can I be the right kind of friend to this person? How can I influence them? How can I admonish them? How can I encourage them? So the relationship there, you call a friend, but if you're not being all that God would have you to be in that relationship, you will not be able to enjoy all that God has for you to enjoy in the fellowship of that relationship. Co-workers. What do you have in common? Well, we both work at the same place. Well, then you're co-workers. There could be fellowship there if you both were the kind of co-workers that you should be. I could go on and on. There's so many different relationships, and then there is the fellowship that God would have us to enjoy in that relationship. But the most important relationship that anyone can have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you get saved, you're saved because you've received a gift. God loved you. You were on your way to a devil's hell, lost in trespasses and sins, dead to God. Because of your the sin has separated you from a fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ came. He lived a sinless life to give us an example of what Christianity should be like. He laid his life down on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago. We have that historical account of that. He resurrected on the third day to prove that he is and was the very Son of God. He ascended up to heaven and sent forth to this earth the Holy Spirit to dwell within all that would receive him as their Savior. And he ever liveth today to make intercession for us. If you have received him as your personal Lord and Savior, that means that you have believed in your heart that he died for you, he was buried and resurrected, and you have asked him to come into your heart to save you from your sins. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have a relationship. You have a relationship. You have to, in that relationship, know who you are and know who he is in order to have the right kind of fellowship. And there is tremendous fellowship. And that's what Paul is talking about. That I may win Christ. Not salvation, but I'm looking to receive the closest fellowship. I am engaged in this. I am dedicated to this. I want this for my life, and it's a win, success when I gain it. I want a close walk with God that I may win Christ, to have fellowship in his relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to know who you are. In Philippians in chapter 3, the verses we read, verse 4 to 7, Paul is explaining who he was before he got saved. The Bible says here in verse 4, again, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. So many have confidence in their flesh and they don't think they need Christ. If any other man thinketh that he hath there whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a very religious man.
of a good stock in Israel. That's what he's saying. And Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, all these things, I was religious and I had this and I had that. But he got saved. And when he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, come to the place where I counted those things lost for Christ. Yeah. He understood who he was. He turned away from being self-sufficient. No matter what your social status is, no matter what your financial status is, no matter what your religious status or even your political status, listen to me. You're lost and on your way to a devil's hell outside of Jesus Christ and the gift that he offers. Paul had to turn away from seeing himself as self-sufficient to seeing himself as a lost man on his way to a devil's hell. Acts chapter 9. This is Paul's conversion. Acts chapter 9. Thought he was serving God, thought that he was everything that he needed to be until he understood the one that he was persecuting was truly the Messiah, was truly the Christ child, was the Savior of all humanity. In Acts in chapter 9 and verse 5, he says this, when Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul, he said, who art thou, Lord? He knew he was God. He didn't understand who he was, but he saw this bright light and he knew this was coming from heaven. He knew this was God. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, your heart's been pricked. You know that when you've seen Stephen being stoned, you knew that Stephen had something that you didn't have. He had a peace that passeth all understanding. And you know that you have been wanting that. You've been searching for that. And he says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks because I've been pricking your heart. And then verse 6, and it says, and he trembling and astonished. He's trembling because now he realizes he's been persecuting the very Son of God. He's been persecuting the Messiah. And astonished, said, Lord. Now he's understanding Jesus is Lord. What will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What he did there at that point, he realized all of the things that I've been looking to has been for naught. I am not self-sufficient. I am a lost man headed for a devil's hell outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. He called upon him to be his Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I write it down. Let me just read it to you here. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul here is giving testimony of his salvation experience. And he says in verse 12, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Thanking God, Christ Jesus, as being the Lord of lords and King of kings, and he's put him in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. He said, this is who I was before, a blasphemer, and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Can I tell you that that's not just for Paul, but that's for every one of us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If I'm going to have the fellowship that God wants me to have in my relationship with Jesus Christ, I've got to see myself as unworthy of salvation. I've got to see myself as not being deserving of his love, not being deserving of his sacrifice, but seeing myself as the chiefest of all sinners. Because of the wages of sin is death, I deserve death. That is total separation from God. That's an eternity in a devil's hell. That's what I deserve. That's how I need to see myself. That's what Paul was saying. In our relationship with Christ,
We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter what your worldly status, you had better see yourself. If you're going to have the right kind of fellowship and a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to see yourself as lost and on your way to a devil's hell without the blood of Christ. That's exactly where I'd be going. That's who I see myself. Now I'm a sinner saved by the blood of Christ. I got to know who Jesus is. I know who I am. I'm undeserving. I'm a nobody. I'm so thankful, as Paul said, God put me in the ministry. God has, through His grace and His mercy, He's watched over me, He's prepared me, and only by the grace of God that I stand before you here as a preacher of the gospel. I am nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. I don't deserve God's blessings. I don't deserve God's fellowship, but I sure am thankful for it. And I see myself that way. And I also see Him for who He is. Know who Jesus is in our relationship. Philippians in chapter 3. Go back there. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. I realize that He is so much higher than I am. His thoughts are so much greater than my thoughts. His ways are so much better than my ways. And I want the knowledge of Him. And Paul says it's the most excellent knowledge known to mankind. The most excellent knowledge, the most important knowledge that any human being could have is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Once you understand that, then you will want to learn more about who it was that you've asked to be your Savior. The first thing that a person needs to do who gets saved is learn about the Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a Christian, you can't be Christ-like unless you know what Christ was like. And He has preserved for us the Bible that we can read it, especially the first four books of the New Testament that give us the life of Jesus Christ. It's so easy reading that a grade school young person who just can barely read can read the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels, with an understanding of what it says. The life of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of who He is an excellent knowledge. It's the most important knowledge that we could have, is to know who Jesus Christ is. He's the only begotten. There's not another one like Him, the Bible says. Only begotten means one of a kind. Only begotten Son of God. 1 John chapter 4, let me read it to you. 1 John, I love this, chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, he says this, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." There's no other. He's the only begotten, one of a kind. He was the only one, was 100% man, and who was 100% God. He never lost His deity at any point. He was 100% God when He was born. He was 100% God when He lived a sinless life. He was 100% God when He laid His life down on Calvary's cross. He laid His life down. Man would have not been able to crucify Him if He had not laid His life down. He was 100% God when He resurrected from the grave. And at the same time, He was 100% man. The only thing missing was a sin nature. But He wanted to be just like you and I so that He could identify with you in whatever it is that you go through. He loves you enough to want to identify with you no matter what it is. He can identify with you. Only begotten Son of God. He has all the attributes of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, because it's a Trinity. There's a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and yet there's all three are one. in a trinity of God, one God in three persons. He's eternal. The Bible says he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's eternal. He's infinite, meaning that he has no limitations. The God that has identified with us that we can look to, and we see ourselves as needy people. We see ourselves as a sinner in deserving death and hell, but we see God loving me in such a way, and we see God wanting to meet my needs. We see God wanting to fellowship with me, and this is an eternal God. This is an infinite God that has no limitations, that wants to answer my requests, my prayers. This is an immutable God. That means he's the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be forevermore. Hebrews 13, same yesterday and today and forever. I am the Lord. I change not. He's immutable. If you know him today, if you truly know him, he'll never change. He's the same God. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situations change, God will never change. He's the same. What a blessing to know that. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Nothing that he cannot do. He is omniscient. He sees and knows everything. There's nothing that he does not know. He's omniscient. That's all knowledge. He's omnipresent. He's always there. He's always there in the fullness of his power. No matter where you're at, listen to me, God is there. No matter what you're going through, God is there. He is there because he is omnipresent. It helps us to understand who he is. When you understand who you are in this relationship that you have in salvation, and you understand who he is in this relationship you have in salvation, you'll want what Paul wanted. You want to win Christ. To gain by success. To gain what he was seeking in his relationship with Christ. The fellowship. Because there's no other fellowship like it. There's no other relationship like it. Do not be satisfied with just your relationship in Christ, with just being saved. Once you understand who he is, seek to enjoy the fellowship that is available to everyone that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in closing, Paul wrote this in verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I understand this is the most important thing that I could ever do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, a closer walk and a closer fellowship, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he was going to win. Amen. Are you saved today? You cannot have fellowship with Jesus Christ unless you have acknowledged your need for a Savior and called upon him to be your Savior. But that just gives you a relationship. You need to take that relationship and get the fellowship out of that that God wants you to have. Win Christ. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't be satisfied with just salvation. That just opens the door. That's what gets you into the presence of God. There is a fellowship that every believer can have. Don't miss out on it. Don't miss out on it. Put it first. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I want this. I want this. If you want it, you can have it. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for what we've just read and the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And I pray, God, that it's a desire that all of us have here this morning to be saved, have that relationship, but not to stop there, but to win all that I can receive in my walk with Christ. What fellowship. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.